Chapter 17. Locke's Madmen, or Bell Curves in the Wrong Places. This is a simple illustration of the general point of this book in finance and economics. If you don't believe in applying the bell curve to social variables, and if, like many professionals, you're already convinced that modern financial theory is dangerous junk science, you can safely skip this chapter. I have in my house two studies, one real with interesting books and literary material, the other non-literary, where I don't enjoy working, where I relegate matters prosaic and narrowly focused. In the non-literary study is a wall full of books on statistics and the history of statistics, books I never had the fortitude to burn or throw away. Though I find them largely useless outside of their academic applications, Carneades, Cicero, and Fouché know a lot more about probability than all these pseudo-sophisticated volumes. I can't use them in class because I promised myself never to teach trash, even if dying of starvation. Why can't I use them? Not one of these books deals with extremistan. Not one. The few books that do are not by statisticians, but by statistical physicists. We're teaching people methods from mediocristan and turning them loose in extremistan. It's like developing a medicine for plants and applying it to humans. It's no wonder that we run the biggest risk of all. We handle matters that belong to extremistan, but treat it as if they belong to mediocristan, as an approximation. Several hundred thousand students in business schools and social science departments from Singapore to Urbana-Champaign, as well as people in the business world, continue to study scientific methods, all grounded in the Gaussian, all embedded in the ludic fallacy. This chapter examines disasters stemming from the application of phony mathematics to social science. The real topic might be the dangers to our society brought about by the Swedish Academy that awards the Nobel Prize. Only 50 years. Let's return to the story of my business life. In the last 50 years, the 10 most extreme days in the financial markets represent half the returns. 10 days in 50 years. Meanwhile, we're mired in chit-chat. Clearly, anyone who wants more than the high number of 6 sigma as proof that markets are from extremistan needs to have his head examined. Dozens of papers show the inadequacy of the Gaussian family of distributions and the scalable nature of markets. Recall that, over the years, I myself have run statistics backward and forward on 20 million pieces of data that made me despise anyone talking about markets in Gaussian terms. But people have a hard time making the leap to the consequences of this knowledge. The strangest thing is that people in business usually agree with me when they listen to me talk or hear me make my case. But when they go to the office the next day, they revert to the Gaussian terms so entrenched in their habits. Their minds are domain-dependent, so they can exercise critical thinking at a conference while not doing so in the office. Furthermore, the Gaussian tools give them numbers which seem to be better than nothing. The resulting measure of future uncertainty satisfies our ingrained desire to simplify, even if that means squeezing into one single number matters that are too rich to be described that way.